Tokyo Podcast Episode Number 47.
On this show, we talked to Ms. Ashley Olson, who runs the website wheelchairtraveling.com, about her recent trip to Japan and what it was like for her to get around the city. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Tokyo Podcast. I'm your host Anthony Joe, and I am back on the air after a short break. Unfortunately, I was off for a little bit due to my work commitments. I've been sucked into the vortex of office life here in Japan, and office life in Japan means you're basically your entire life, considering how much time these people spend in the office. But I got a little bit of a break here, so I thought I'd record a few episodes of Tokyo Podcast. Actually, in the last few weeks, I've been working a little bit more on video, recording a video about working and living in Japan. I've done some interviews with people working here, as well as some business owners. And we've recorded a few lifestyle, travel style videos. The latest one that we did was called Exploring Tokyo on the Yamanote Line. And I really like this video, actually. If you're coming to Japan and you're looking kind of for like a one-day thing to do, I definitely recommend hopping on the Yamanote Line and using that as a base for exploring Tokyo. Because if you don't know, the Yamanote Line is this train line that does a big loop around the city. It's kind of like the lifeline of the city, used by everyone who lives in Tokyo. So it's actually kind of busy most of the time. But what's great about this is it allows you to access many parts of the city just by taking this one train line. So if you're coming to Tokyo and you're worried you might get lost or you don't know where to go, hop on the Yamanote Line and you can see many of the tourist attractions just by using this one train line. So that's what we did. We went and filmed a video where we picked a few of the stations to kind of showcase some of the well-known and not so well-known tourist attractions that are accessible from the Yamanote Line. And I also talk about this special one-day pass that you can get. They have this pass that, because I tell you, one of the things I found confusing about the train system when I first got here is what you do is you buy a ticket for how far you want to go. So if you want to go from station A to station D, that costs more than going from station A to station B, right? Does that make sense? The problem is all the station names are written in kanji, that Japanese characters, so it's kind of hard to figure out how much money you have to spend and what kind of ticket you have to buy, of course, because you can't read it, right? So they do offer this like all-day pass that allows you to take the JR lines all over Tokyo. It's a really great pass. Unfortunately, for some weird reason, this pass is not given some easy to remember name. You would think that when you click the English menu button on the ticket machine, it would be called like a one-day pass or all-day pass or something like that. But wrong. Here in Japan, it's called the Tokunai Pass. And I'm not really quite sure what Tokunai means. I think it means like municipal pass or something like that. But if you get this Tokunai pass, it's 730 yen, it's about 10 bucks. It's actually a really great deal because it allows you to take any of the JR trains all over Tokyo for one day. Now, if you took all those individually, you'd be well over $10 very easily. So this is a fantastic pass. It's not that well known. So in this video, I show you how to get this pass and some of the attractions that you can see around the Yamanote Line. So if you're interested in checking that out, I'll post a link to it on my website at tokyopodcast.com. On today's show, I'm going to be talking to Ms. Ashley Olson, who runs the website wheelchairtraveling.com and has recently written an article about traveling in Japan by wheelchair. And it's a really fascinating article to look at what it's like to travel in Japan from a different perspective. Obviously, I'm not in a wheelchair, so I have no frame of reference of what it's like to travel in Japan. Before I kind of read this article, I kind of thought about what is it like to travel in Japan in a wheelchair? wheelchair. I have no idea. I see an awful lot of stairs in the train station. So is it easy? Is it difficult? I don't know. So Ashley joins us today to talk about her experiences traveling here in Japan. Hey, Ashley, welcome to Tokyo Podcast.
Konnichiwa. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I was kind of curious when I read your article. There was a lot of things in it that I myself, as someone who's not in a wheelchair, would have never thought about. Was this your first trip to Japan?
Yes, it was. First, but hopefully not my last.
I take it you enjoyed your time here?
Oh, very much so.
And can you give us kind of a quick snapshot of someone traveling in a wheelchair? How would you kind of rate Japan? Was it relatively easy? Was it difficult? Was it different than you expected? How was it?
I didn't know really what to expect. I had a friend who was traveling with me that assured me that I wouldn't have too much of a problem. Certainly, being in a wheelchair, you run into obstacles anywhere you go. Not necessarily anywhere, but anywhere in the world is possible. So coming to Japan, I really was anxious. It's been actually one of my places that have been on my top five lists of places I've always wanted to travel to. So I didn't even care. I was just like, I'm gonna go to Japan and just check it out. And what I'm going to experience is what I'm going to experience. So I arrived in Japan and was immediately just impressed by the service, the helpfulness of the train attendants, getting from the airplane to the train station, and then actually traveling on the train and the accessibility of the train. So just from second I pretty much stepped on to, you know, the island, I was just thrilled. I had a really good feeling first off.
Were you was it difficult at all to try to communicate if you don't speak Japanese?
Well, I was there for 2 weeks, and my friend who is fluent in Japanese was supposed to be my guide, because he also had been to Japan over a dozen times, but he had to leave home for a family emergency. So instead of jumping ship, I decided to stay and really got a good sense of that question that you're asking me. And I got a kind of a good feel for picking out people that might know, I guess, a little bit of English. And sometimes, though, I was wrong. And if we couldn't communicate what we needed to communicate, then, you know, I would thank them and be on my way. Sometimes I would draw a picture if I was looking for a map or something. But, you know, do the best I could with a little bit of English and, of course, a lot of charades. And a little, like I said, a little sketchbook that I brought for drawing pictures and maps and stuff like that. And, you know, was able to get around. In general, definitely found lots of English speaking people, and actually one in particular that really surprised me in Kyoto in the bamboo grove. There was a gentleman selling some paintings, and he had the most perfect English that I had heard since my trip. And he then actually, he was talking to me in English, and then he ended his sentence in Spanish, which was hilarious.
Yeah, it's always kind of surprising when you meet someone here who speaks fluent English, someone totally unexpected. I sometimes meet some really old Japanese people, and yes, you don't kind of expect it, but it's funny how they come back to you in sometimes perfect English.
Oh yes, and just very suave in their tone too.
Right.
There was there was a couple of those. Yeah, it was wonderful. And I mean sometimes I would have to go up to somebody, you know, and ask for help for, you know, where the elevator was or directions to an attraction or something like that. But sometimes I would just be holding up my map and someone would just randomly come by and be like, "Hey, you know, where do you need to go?" And would either tell me or sometimes escort me to where I needed to go. It was wonderful.
Cool. Interesting. So I'm sure many people, I'm sure some people listening to this who are also in wheelchairs are curious about what was it like in getting around the country. Is Japan accessible for someone in a wheelchair?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, getting around primarily involves using the train system, which is spectacular.
Is it really?
I was just very, very impressed with, yes, just the quality of service and how wonderful the train attendants were about, you know, having the ramps and calling ahead to the next station and telling them exactly what car I was in. And there would be a train attendant waiting right there to have the ramp out for me. And I mean, sometimes I didn't even need the ramp, but I just got in the habit of always asking for it because I didn't know how the platform was going to be, because sometimes the train station, the actual train and the train platform are like 6 inches apart from each other, which makes a pretty big gap and, you know, difficult to wheelie over.
Right.
Especially if you're in a power chair, which I'm not, but someone who's in a power chair would definitely have difficulty with that. But, you know, in Japan, you didn't have to worry about that because there's these train attendants that would help you. And I was blown away because New York's train system is horrible and they could definitely learn a thing or two from the train stations and the train system in general in Japan.
Interesting. I'm a little bit surprised to hear that, because when I was preparing for this interview, as I was kind of going through my daily commute, I kind of couldn't help but notice that I take a lot of stairs getting to and from the train station. I mean, some of the subways that I take are really, really far underground. So I was kind of looking around for the elevator or something. I actually didn't really notice it that much.
Yeah.
But then I read your website and I noticed a tip that you put on there is that those braille dots that they have for blind people, you mentioned that they most of the time they lead to the elevator.
Yeah, you got a 50-50% chance. I mean, sometimes they do have a pathway that will lead to stairs because sometimes they can walk downstairs, but there's also, you know, it's part of the, you know, disabled signs where it leads to the elevator and then also through the disabled ticket gate as well.
Right. Wow. So that's kind of interesting. I'm going to have to keep my eye out for that then. So you said that getting around Japan then on the train station was no problems at all.
I mean, I certainly ran into problems where I didn't know where to go, where I had to think for a little moment, you know, and really maybe ask somebody or, you know, use common sense or just kind of scope around the area. But I mean, I was on, you know, here to explore. I wasn't on any type of time schedule. So it was nice to be able to have that. And I then learned a thing or two about finding where, you know, maps were for the train station, so you can see where the elevators are located if you really were about, you know, being really efficient with your time and wanting to do that. There's other possibilities. So, but I mean, for me being doing what I was doing, yeah, I mean, there was no problem just taking my time and figuring out where I needed to go. And it was easy. Everything's color-coded and designed out in a very functional, common-sense way, which is very helpful.
Interesting. And what about other forms of transportation, like buses or taxis? Did you try anything like that?
I didn't try the bus, but saw that they had ramps and everything, very, very similar designs to the United States, but was generally told that it was kind of annoying to take buses because they're not on a scheduled time, so you never know when they're going to be coming. I took a taxi one time, but it wasn't a wheelchair accessible one. It was just a normal one, and I showed the guy how to, you know, take apart my wheelchair. And I was actually very impressed that when I got out of the taxi, he actually kind of took charge and, you know, grabbed my wheel, and he had figured out how to snap on my wheel to my wheelchair, which some people, I mean, I've had a couple friends that it would take them a while to like figure out, or just, you know, smart people who like look at it, okay, what do I need to do? But he got it instantly, which I got a kick out of. And I do know that there are wheelchair accessible taxis, but they're pretty hard to get. You have to usually schedule them at least like a day in advance. One in Kyoto that I was able to ride was Let's Go Taxi, which he was an amazing guy and super friendly. Definitely still have to book him, you know, schedule him in advance, because he has people that you have to go to medical appointments or, that actually tells me is his biggest clients are people who need to visit the doctors and such, but definitely has tour people around and, you know, has a great, actually accessible van where you don't have to transfer out of your wheelchair, and it just gets hooked on to the front of your wheelchair and pulls you up, which I have not seen this kind of design anywhere. So it was pretty fun.
That's interesting. So it sounds like then getting around the city was not a problem. What about your hotel?
I first started out at one of the nicer hotels, so I thought. It was the Kyo Plaza Hotel in Tokyo, which, you know, you walk in and there's a beautiful chandelier and all of this, but out of all the places that I stayed, this one was the most expensive and least accessible when it came to the actual room setup, which was really interesting. In general, there was a couple hotels like the Tokyo Inn, which I know is found all over Japan and actually other parts in Asia, which had a brilliant setup and super, super cheap. It's a business hotel, you know, made for people just, you know, in and out on business and quick retreats or whatnot. But I found it great and centrally located. And the actual bathroom, which is a big part when it comes to traveling in a wheelchair, was just brilliant. An absolute brilliant setup where you can choose whether to use a bathtub or a shower, because they're both in the same room. Usually in America, you have to choose whether or not you want to have a room with a bathtub or a shower. But in this case, there was a shower and a bathtub, so you have a choice in that very same setup. You know, what do I feel like today? A bath or a shower? You know, so, or some people just for their physical needs, it's more convenient for them to have a bathtub or a shower. You just never know, though. So it's just a very, very convenient way to travel around Japan, for sure, would be the Tokyo Inn. And there was there's some other hotels that weren't, you know, did their best to make things accessible, but I saw some problems with certain wheelchair sizes that may not fit in these bathrooms, or just the height of the bed for some people might be kind of difficult. But it all depends on who you're traveling with and what your ability is, which gets kind of complicated when it comes to wheelchair traveling. And one of the reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Right. Boy, that actually sounds pretty nice, because having a shower and a bath in Japan is kind of rare, even in people's homes. So I might want to check into that hotel myself.
Yeah.
What about public bathrooms? Did you have any difficulties with them?
I learned that the best place to find a public restroom are train stations, which are located everywhere. And also, if there's a shopping mall or a shopping center, food court type of a place, that's another great place to check out. Otherwise, you could always go into attractions, like, you know, all big museums and theaters will all have accessible restrooms. So there's definitely no problem finding some around the city.
Did you like the ones with all the gadgets? The seat warmer and the butt spray and all that?
Yeah, that was actually new. I mean, I had heard about that and completely had forgotten about it. But yeah, I kind of miss it, honestly. Yeah, the seat warmer was particularly nice.
Especially in the winter. Because here we don't have central heating in our homes, eh? So
yeah,
you wake up in the middle of winter and your whole house is an ice cube. So that seat warmer is very convenient.
Yes.
I can imagine. What was it like visiting some of the tourist attractions? Because I kind of imagine some of these ones that are a little bit outside of the city wouldn't have elevators, especially some of the nature ones, would they? Like, well, a temple in the middle of nowhere, they wouldn't have an elevator, would they? But they would sure have a lot of stairs, wouldn't they?
Some of them do, but surprisingly, some of them will make accommodations, which don't actually infringe on the original structure of the building. They'll build kind of just a ramp that's completely, not touching the original structure whatsoever to not cause any damage. And they're able to kind of integrate those throughout certain temples in order for wheelchair users to be able to see them, which was really cool.
Cool.
And yeah, I mean, there was definitely no elevators, period, but but there were some ramps. But yeah, there definitely were some temples that had stairs, even in the middle of the cities. It didn't even necessarily have to be out in the middle of nowhere. Right. Some right smack in the middle of downtown area would have stairs and no access. So, but it doesn't mean that I couldn't go there and still enjoy the beauty and the ambiance of what the temple had to offer. I just couldn't actually, you know, go up and do my whole prayer session.
And what's the story behind one of the attractions you went to? Someone offered to carry you up the stairs?
Yes, it's wonderful. Oh, so much fun. I was in Nara Park and I was headed to one of the shrines, and I'd been wheeling for a while. It had already been a long, long day. I'd wheeled up a big, long hill and it was hot and I was tired. And the pathway that I was on was paved. So that was one of the reasons why I told myself, okay, yeah, you're going to do this. And as I was wheeling, after a while, the ground actually broke apart and started to become these small pebbly rocks, which are very common around temples and parks and sometimes can be pretty thick and act like quicksand and kind of trap your wheels. So I figured out that if I cruised at a really slow pace, I could kind of just hovercraft like over the rocks. So I was just cruising along real slow, and I saw this Japanese family, made eye contact with them and said hello to them and put my head back down and continue to push. And then the dad was getting my attention, and he said, "Excuse me," or "Hello, and would you like me to push you?" And he gestured the motion of pushing. And I said, "Oh, yes, hi, arigato gozaimasu." And he, you know, jumped right in and started pushing me, and him and his son switched off pushing me. And when we got to the bottom of the temple, all we saw were stairs, hundreds of stairs. And so I thanked them, but I said, "I'm just going to take a few pictures and be on my way." And that wasn't really sufficient for them. They were both kind of looking around, trying to figure out, is there another route around here? And, you know, and I was trying to assure him, like, "I don't see anything. I don't think there's any way around." And this gentleman who was halfway up the stairs was seeing what was going on and yelled down to us, "Hey, do you want any help?" And so he was starting to walk down the stairs. And he knew a few more Japanese words than I did and was talking to the dad and basically was asking him, "Hey, let's carry her, like let's lift her up." And the dad was all for it. And I said, "Guys, it's, you know, it's like 90 degrees with, you know, 60% humidity." I mean, the guy who knew English, who was halfway up the stairs, he was actually from Texas. He was this big, big, sturdy guy, but he was already just drenched with sweat. So I couldn't possibly ask these two guys to carry me up all of the hundreds of stairs in this type of temperature, but they both wanted to do it. I couldn't even get a word out. They were already picking me up in my chair like Cleopatra and carrying me up all around the temple. There was a couple spots that I could wheel, but they carried me all around the temple and then, you know, back down the stairs. And the guy who was from Texas, who could speak English, obviously, he had some other plans and he was on his way to continue his traveling through Japan. And I continued walking with the family. And the dad actually said, "Hey, I have a car. Is there anywhere you want to go?" And I told him I wanted to see the oldest wooden temple in Japan. That had I think it was a three-story pagoda, and could have been a five-star. I think it was three though. And so we all jumped in the Subaru, which I also have a Subaru, and I was super excited about this. That I was in a Japanese Subaru, and we, you know, drove to this temple. And on the way, they bought me lunch and bought me my ticket. And on the way back, bought me a popsicle and some tea. They refused to take any of my money. I even went up to the ticket counter at the temple place and was trying to talk to the the guy behind the counter and said, you know, how much was my ticket? You know, and the dad came over to me, oh, there's no problem. Oh, there's no problem. And was kind of pushing me aside, getting me away from the ticket counter. Yeah, we walked all around. Then they dropped me off at the train station and said goodbye to him. And I gave him my card. I don't know if I'll ever hear from him again, but it was a lot of fun. And we even listened to the Macarena, which was a blast from my past.
That song, I think, is definitely international.
Yeah.
Wow, that's an amazing story. Really goes to show, actually, kind of the spirit of the Japanese people, that they're always willing to try to help someone experience their country better, you know?
Definitely. What I would say to friends back in the United States, I said that everybody in Japan wants to be sure that everybody is okay. Hmm. You know, nobody's, you know, lost, or, you know, everybody has their place and are going to be okay. And oh, it was so warming. Had so many great experiences. Even I was in Roppongi and I was going up this big, big, big long hill and thought many times, oh my gosh, should I get a taxi right now? Oh my gosh, should I get, is there a bus around here? Like, I was looking around for an out, but I'm just, I'm going to keep going. And this little old lady who was waiting at the bus stop, you know, rushed over to me and offered to push me up the rest of the hill. And she did. And then she did it really quickly too. She had some strong legs, that lady did.
I tell you, those old Japanese people, they're tough. They look tiny things, but they're freakishly strong.
Yeah, they're little tigers, definitely. Something that I was very pleased to see was, in the United States, I feel that people abuse elevators too frequently. Not abuse them, but they don't need to take the elevator, you know, and they take the elevator anyways. But in Japan, I mean, unless you had, you know, children or carrying a big piece of luggage, or you were old, you know, that's would be the only people that were taking the elevators. But still, I saw so many old people that walked up the stairs and I saluted them. Right. It was awesome.
Right. What were some of the challenges you encountered traveling in Japan?
Oh, food. I definitely would have loved to see more accessible restaurants kind of within the city, because I would always be able to find an accessible restaurant at the train station, or like right around the train station. But once you actually got into the city, very few restaurants were wheelchair accessible. They would either have a big step, or they would be super, super small, or, you know, definitely lots of stairs, or, you know, one stair or multiple stairs obstacles, which was sad. But I said, okay, I'm going to be here and experience what I'm going to experience. And there was one night I was walking around for a while and there was just nothing. And finally I found like a 7-Eleven, and that was my savior for that evening.
Yeah. Luckily, 7-Elevens here actually have real food, unlike the ones in the U.S. You know, you can get like a bowl of noodles or a rice ball or something like that here at 7-Eleven.
I love the 7-Elevens there. Oh, my God. I love the 7-Elevens there. And they had, for breakfast, my favorite thing was the red bean with the little rice balls, and then had like a little bit of fruit and like honey or something, some kind of like sweetness. Right. And you just mix it all together and eat it. Oh, I miss that so much. But also the bread too. Oh, I love the bread there in Japan. It was so good. It was something, I mean, you would still be able to get your sugary fix if you wanted, you know, a sugar twist, you know, donut kind of a thing, or, you know, a melon, like sweet melon bread or something. But something about the dough that was just so much lighter and airier, that seemed just so much more healthy than what you find here in the United States.
So it sounds like you had a relatively hassle-free trip.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there was times where, I mean, I couldn't find the elevator down to a train station, you know, and I had to ask a couple people, or wait for somebody to get out of the bathroom that wasn't wheelchair, or wait for somebody to get out of a wheelchair accessible bathroom that wasn't handicapped whatsoever, or, restaurants are having to go up a hill. There certainly were their fair share of hills all around Japan, especially when you get inner in the city, as opposed to right by the train station, seem to be a lot more flat. But, if you're traveling with somebody that can push you, or you have a power wheelchair, you'll have absolutely no problem like getting around. And even I did it all myself. I have, I'm able to use my arms. I'm a paraplegic. So even though sometimes I would be going kind of slow, I got a really, really nice workout in Japan. So
was it difficult at all traveling around the city? Because I imagine like I know even for me, walking around Tokyo sometimes is difficult because there's just so many people. Was it a challenge at all dealing with the crowds?
No, not really. I would say for the most part, people kind of got out of my way. So as long as I kind of got a feel for, the flow of traffic, and kind of just meandered my way and watched out for other people as well that weren't paying attention, I had no problem navigating through all the massive crowds.
I did an interview a few months ago with a Japanese lady who lives in Thailand and who's blind. And one thing that she mentioned was that when she gets on the train, she cannot see, obviously, if there are seats available or not. So she has to stand. And it frustrates her when she knows that there's seats available, but she cannot just walk up and start feeling for it. Right. So she, she said that she wishes people would walk up to her and ask her if she wants to sit. I'm always kind of curious if I saw someone in a wheelchair who I thought needed some help, what would you suggest I do? Obviously you can't speak for everybody, but would you suggest people walk up to them and try to offer some assistance? Should we let them do it on their own, or what would your suggestion be?
My personal opinion is to always ask. Occasionally you might get a headstrong person that doesn't want your help, but they'll say no. And I would say just do your best to not be offended. Don't take it personally. It's just kind of what they're going through. But I love when people ask me for help. Sometimes I don't need it and I politely say thanks, but no thanks. But I love that someone is thinking of me, is looking out for me. And that to me, I feel is a very good thing that every society should embrace and support, because, I think it's a beautiful thing if we all help each other out a little bit more.
On your website, wheelchairtraveling.com, you have a lot of articles people have submitted from their travels around the world. Where would you kind of place Japan in terms of accessibility travel?
Oh, with just the public transportation alone, not even just the train, but all of Japan's public transportation, I would definitely say it's honestly one of the best in the world. I mean, it's right up there with the United States, especially San Francisco with their public transportation. I mean, Tokyo, for example, is a lot flatter than San Francisco, and Tokyo has better public transportation for people in wheelchairs.
So your message to someone else in a wheelchair who may be thinking about coming to Japan is what?
Yes, do it. Do it, but with all travels, you have to keep an open mind, because everybody thinks of accessibility in different ways, and countries handle accessibility in different ways. What you expect in the United Kingdom, you won't see here in the United States, and you won't see in Japan. People and the way the government handles disabilities are just different. So, be patient and kind of feel out how each country handles wheelchair access, and with that knowledge you'll be able to confidently travel anywhere, and definitely Japan.
Well, that's great. Thanks, Ashley. Thanks for coming on the show. I really enjoyed talking to you. If people want to find out more about your travels in Japan, they can visit your website at wheelchairtraveling.com. And thanks again for coming on Tokyo Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks again to Ms. Ashley Olson for coming on the show and giving us an insight into what it was like for her to travel in Japan. I was very surprised to hear her say how good the train system was in Japan. I always assumed that it wasn't that great just because I take the stairs all the time and I never even noticed the elevators. But that's great to hear. And actually, ironically, since we've recorded this show, I've actually kind of kept an eye out. And I do notice that the attendants are really, really great at it. What they'll do is when you get on the train, they'll put the ramp down, you get on the train, and then they radio ahead to the next station that you're getting off and to let the attendants know what car you're in, what carriage you're in, and exactly where you are, what door on the carriage that you're at. So when you get to the station, your destination, doors open, and boom, the guys are waiting there with the ramp, and you get off. So it's actually extremely convenient. So fantastic props to the Japanese train system on making their trains more accessible. Speaking of trains, if you're interested in checking out the latest video that I've done exploring Tokyo on the Yamanote Line using the cryptic Tokunai Pass, visit my website at tokyopodcast.com and I'll post a link to the video from there. That's it. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Anthony Joe and talk to you next time. Bye-bye.